Welcome in to another edition of The Current Report, our weekly roundup of what's happening in the world of digital media. I'm your host, Chris Brooklier. A week after this March Madness proved the power and scale of women's sports, we're going to dive in deeper. There's a million stats I could rattle off, from the record 18.9 million people who tuned into the national championship game to media investment going through the roof, but South Carolina beating Iowa was an encapsulation of something that always can't be measured, breaking through a fragmented world and creating a cultural moment. I wrote about this phenomenon recently for The Current and where the future of women's sports could go with more advertising and media attention. So to get more insight on meeting the moment, I'm talking with Dave Solomon, Ampersand's Director of Sports Partnerships, in what's one of my favorite conversations of the year. All right, Dave, how are we doing? It was a very exciting women's tourney, arguably better than the men's, which I'm not sure we could really say before, but what stood out to you just throughout this whole March Madness?
Obviously, the storylines with Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Iowa, LSU, Juju Watkins, right, as a freshman out. You know, there are so many more storylines, so many more stars on the women's side that have really driven that viewership to where it is compared to the men's side. I think the men's side is still sort of team-focused. You got your blue bloods of Duke, Kentucky, where, you know, I like to say that these big cultural moments really drive sports viewership. And so we kind of saw that with the stars popping out with, again, that Caitlin Clark effect is kind of taking over the entire sports world, which has been really cool to see.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I feel like on the women's side, she feels like a Steph Curry, right? Someone that's like really changing the game. But like, for me, the million-dollar question is, why now for women's sports? Do you have any thoughts?
First and foremost, like this exact moment, if we're going to talk about that, is Caitlin Clark, right? It is that moment for her. We've sort of been, for years now, we've sort of been kind of bubbling up. We've seen blips of women star athletes kind of, you know, enter the cultural zeitgeist, right? We've got Alex Morgan, Megan Rapinoe with women's national soccer team. That, you know, they always get a lot of viewership. Simone Biles is a huge athlete. But I feel like a lot of those women athletes that have kind of broke through are kind of those Olympics, World Cup, once every 4 years. So there's not a lot of sustainability there. So there's been this undercurrent that we've been seeing kind of bubble up. We've also seen, there's been very slowly, but we've started to see that investment, right? So sort of like chicken or the egg, like, is the investment going to drive the audience, or is the audience going to then drive the investment? I think both are kind of true, right, in some aspect. But so we started to see that investment. You know, ESPN re-upped their NCAA deal, about $65 million for women's March Madness. Amazon just extended their WNBA deal as well, which I think just happened like last week. We've seen a large increase in women's sports here at Ampersand for us as well.
You're mentioning how Ampersand is getting bigger into women's sports in terms of the investment. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
In the past 2 years, we've seen 1,000% increase in women's March Madness revenue, which is like insane. So we've almost gone from almost zero. No brands were really interested in it. And now we've seen this huge wave. Last week for me was insane. Here within the walls of Ampersand, the amount of brands that were calling us trying to get into these final four games and the finals games was just something that I've never seen before. I really haven't seen it really in any other sport, like in the moment. Again, that cultural moment. I haven't really seen another event where in the moment brands have been trying to get in as much as they were these past three games last week.
So then what did you tell these people that were all trying to get in?
Well, whoever made the call first gets in, right? But look, there's a limited amount of inventory, so a lot of people didn't get in. That's just, you know, matter of fact, right? Things sell out. And so, I mean, obviously, myself, as leading our sports sales here at Ampersand, we're going to take that momentum, turn that around. We've already turned around and said, hey, we can't get into the Final Four, but the WNBA draft is coming up. We have WNBA inventory, right? Next year, we have a ton of regular season NCAA women's inventory, and then the tournament comes back around, right? Before you know it, we're back in that cycle, right? So again, it was quite the week last week of everybody kind of scrambling, trying to get in, but it was really exciting and it was awesome to see.
So do you have any insight on specifically why there was so much of a rush to get into these women's games? Was it more of like these brands were just trying to attach to the cultural moment, or is there something else that they're benefiting from by getting into women's sports as opposed to one of the major four sports?
Right. Yeah, I definitely think the cultural moment, everyone was reacting to that. Next year, we're probably going to have, you know, that cycle 6-8 months out. I'm going to guess we're going to fill up a lot quicker in that cycle for women's like we do with men's for 2025, where everyone's not going to be as reactive. The other thing that I've thought about, the economics of the women's game for women's sports in general, but really right, talking about the women's March Madness, the economics haven't quite caught up yet. So if you're, from a brand perspective, you're coming in to buy the women's tournament, I think you're actually going to be really efficient in reaching a mass audience, right? Like really efficient. The example that I use, like Amazon and Peacock both paid each individually over $100 million, right? For two games, right? Amazon was the Black Friday game. Peacock was the playoff game. Caitlin Clark's last two games outdrew both of those games, right? She's pulling NFL numbers. And what I mentioned before is ESPN's March Madness deal is $65 million year over year, right? So ESPN paid $65 million for two games. I mean, for the whole tournament, but two games that outdrew Amazon and Peacock, those NFL games. So it's on that level. I think the economics will eventually catch up. I mean, they just have to, right?
The women's title game had a higher rating than everything but 15 NFL games, which is like astounding, right? WNBA, they're looking to double their media deal, right, when it comes up this year. So I think there's a lot to look forward for. And, you know, I had a ton of fun nerding out with you on some women's sports business, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah, no, appreciate having me on here. And yeah, I think it's important to leave one thing here. I think it's important, right, that brands, companies who are investing within women's sports, right, make sure that this isn't just a moment in time and really try to build on the sustainability of women's sports. Because the last thing you want is, hey, everyone just made a few bucks here and now it's just back to what it was, right? Is really kind of build on this and kind of keep it at this level, because it is really, really exciting. And like we sort of started this off at, I think we both watched more of the women's games than we did the men's games going into the Final Four and championship. So I think there's going to be a lot of staying power here.
No question. Next, here's our roundup of what's making news across the internet. Nielsen's making a push to incorporate streamers' first-party data into measurement. The challenge here will be getting widespread support, which Ad Age reports could be elusive because there's no standardization. iSpot viewership data for Peacock's NFL playoff game was 20% lower than Nielsen's rating, which obviously has big consequences for advertisers. And with more money moving into streaming, including in high-leverage events like live sports, a development like this could be crucial. And finally, we're capping off this episode with one last thing. Continuing down the live sports train, NBC Universal announced it's already secured $1.2 billion in ad commitments for the Summer Olympics in Paris. And the media giant expects the company to set a new record for ad revenue, with ad space sold out for both the opening and closing ceremonies across traditional TV and streaming. And a boatload of new money is coming in, with $350 million coming from new advertisers. The growth of Peacock plays a huge role in that, with new opportunities to advertise as, for the first time ever, every single event will stream live on the streaming app. And that's it for this edition of The Current Report. For a deeper dive on all these stories plus more, check out thecurrent.com. And of course, please like and subscribe on YouTube, plus leave us a review on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen. And if you want to hear more from The Current, listen to The Current Podcast, where we interview some of marketing's biggest leaders about their keystone career moments and where the industry is going next. We'll see you next week.